In the headlines, Dr. Godwin Friday's NDP delivers a landslide victory in St. Vincent. Police investigating a late-night shooting incident in Ellerton, St. George. A man hospitalized following a stabbing incident along Fairchild Street yesterday. C2SAB challenges government's claim of record low unemployment. And the Ministry of Environment rolling out public education initiatives on waste disposal. This is the morning edition of The Latest. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Details coming up. In a landmark political shift, the New Democratic Party, NDP, has won the 2025 national elections in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, ending a 25-year stretch outside the seat of government. Party leader, 66-year-old Dr. Godwin Friday, is set to become the island's seventh prime minister since independence in 1979, following a landslide victory against long-serving former prime minister Dr. Ralph Gonzales. The NDP secured 14 parliamentary seats to one, won by the opposing Unity Labour Party, a seat retained by the 79-year-old Dr. Gonzales. The prime minister-elect said he intends to keep the promises made on the campaign trail.
We campaign on certain things in the New Democratic Party. We put forward a platform to the people of this country. We intend to honor that. So I want to start immediately to honor my people. We have a 60-day plan that we put forward. We will do that. I really look forward to serving the people of this country to try and make St. Vincent and the Grenadines better. I know that I don't, you know, second guess or in any way diminish anybody's public service, and I assume that everyone gets into it and they want to do it for the common good. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we do not. Sometimes, you know, some people don't even try. I am going to try and I'm going to do my very best.
That's Prime Minister-elect of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Dr. Godwin Friday. Police are probing a shooting incident in Ellerton, St. George, last night. Around 10 p.m., at least five units from the District B police station responded to gunfire in the area where residents were gathered. Up to news time, police confirmed that the investigation was ongoing, but that no injuries were recorded. Meantime, investigations are ongoing into a stabbing incident that occurred at around 2:45 p.m. along Fairchild Street yesterday. Police reports indicate that a man was walking along Fairchild Street when he was approached by an assailant armed with a knife who began stabbing the man about the body. The victim was transported to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital by a private vehicle where he's undergoing treatment. An eyewitness said people nearby intervened to save the victim's life.
The altercation started in front of Big Mama's. We two persons, one of the people ran across the road to seek help from the people that was crossing that side. And the assailant that was pursuing the person and attacked the man and stabbed me in the head. And the people that was crossing the road and get to the man assistance and stop the man from getting further altercations and stabs. And the person that was stabbing ran off, and some boy from there carried the man by taxi to the hospital. The police reported the scene fairly quickly. The police apprehended the man, but the citizens stopped the man from dying. Citizens were the persons who stepped forward as the heroes to help the man, preserve the man's life.
An eyewitness to yesterday's stabbing along Fairchild Street yesterday. The Congress of Trade Unions and Staff Associations of Barbados, C2SAB, are questioning government's claim that unemployment has fallen to its lowest level on record. General Secretary Dennis DePisa says C2SAB is not convinced by the central bank's announcement that the unemployment rate dropped by 6.1% in June 2025, marking the fifth consecutive quarterly decline. He argues that while the governor of the central bank credits growth of 2.7% to tourism, construction, and other services, no qualitative evidence has been provided to show how these sectors are actually generating and sustaining jobs.
CUSAB views this statistical information and the assertion that this represents a fifth consecutive quarterly decrease in unemployment, leading to a strong and improving labor market, is more speculative than factual. There has been no qualitative evidence presented by the government of the central bank to substantiate the conclusions reached, other than that the GDP growth of 2.7% in the first 9 months of the year 2025 was driven by sectors such as tourism, construction, agriculture, and business and other services. This is not enough for USAF to have all reservations on the picture which has been painted. The country can benefit from having information presented to it on the number of eligible persons in the labor force that are without work available and seeking employment, so that a more realistic picture is given on the state of employment.
That's C2SAB General Secretary Dennis DePisa. A former legislator weighs in on the divestment of this country's public transportation system, saying he is not surprised about the move as it falls under an IMF recommendation for government to secure and reduce the financial risk and the burden on operating state entities. Former opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley told Starcom Network News that there is need for wider consultation beyond unions, as it would significantly affect a wide cross-section of stakeholders. But chief among his concerns is the financial impact the plan could have on owners.
My concerns would be relative to the cost to the new owners, especially if these owners are former staff, former employees of the transport board, drivers or otherwise. My concern would be respect to the cost to them of coming into this ownership, and how would that best be facilitated? I don't know that they would be on their own or facing commercial entities, profit-making private entities, in a position to get into this. My concern would be the cost to the owners. Also, cost with respect to operating the service after you've come into the ownership of a vehicle or two.
He too expressed concerns about the impact privatizing public transport could have on school children and the elderly.
I'd be concerned for the service to the school children. School children, of course, that is a big cost to government, but it's a necessary undertaking. And of course, providing of transport for the elderly and seniors in Barbados. Those would be some of my concerns. We'd have to see how it works out. But like I said, it should really come, or should have come, after broad-based consultations that take into consideration all those major issues.
Former opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley. Schools will once again be participating majorly in AgriFest, scheduled for February 2026. Chief Executive Officer of the Barbados Agricultural Society, James Paul, made the announcement at the launch of the island's premier agricultural exhibition at the Ann Hill School yesterday.
Next year, we have something that's rare. For the last 3 years, we were complaining, you're having the midterm break at the same time. This year, we do not have that to face with. We don't have that to face with. And what I would say to you is that there's a tremendous amount of interest already coming from the schools saying, how can we participate? I want to thank the Ministry of Education for at least thinking of us this year for next year. So I want those exhibitors who have shied away because of the fact that we don't have the schools on Friday, you do not need to shy away anymore.
That's CEO of the Barbados Agricultural Society, James Paul. Environmental Officer in the Ministry of the Environment and National Beautification, Rohan Payne, has announced the ministry's plans to roll out public education initiatives focused on promoting best practices for waste disposal. Speaking to Starcom Network News, Mr. Payne warned that the practice of illegal dumping is harmful to the country's ecosystems and can increase the impact of severe weather events.
We are in the process of rolling out a number of public awareness raising and education programs to attempt to, drive behavior change. Gullies are the arteries of Barbados. They connect various ecosystems and they transport immense amounts of water. So whenever you dump illegally, you're harming our biodiversity, you're harming our plant and animal species, you're increasing flood risks. We just had a really extreme weather event where we had a lot of flooding. So dumping gullies actually makes events like that worse. You're threatening our already scarce water supply, and you are putting an additional threat on our, for the moment, generally excellent water quality. Beyond that, gullies are connected. So people may think that if they drive a few miles away and they dump in some other community, that doesn't negatively impact them. But it absolutely can, and it will. So our overall message to Barbadians is to just not dump illegally.
Environmental Officer in the Ministry of Environment and National Beautification, Rohan Payne, recapping the headlines. Dr. Godwin Friday is St. Vincent and the Grenadines' seventh Prime Minister as he leads the NDP to victory over Dr. Ralph Gonzalez's ULP by 14 seats to 1. Police probing a shooting incident in Allerton, St. George last night, while a man hospitalized following a stabbing incident along Fairchild Street yesterday afternoon. CEDOSAB challenges government's claim of record low unemployment. Dennis DePisa is saying he does not believe and does not think the methodology is well explained. Another public figure shares his concerns about the divestment of the Barbados Transport Board. He says the proposal, Dr. Bishop Athley, is saying that the proposal is not adequate enough. And the Ministry of the Environment rolling out public education initiatives on waste disposal. This has been the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Good morning.